Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show. Conservative talk radio addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. In case you haven't noticed, we are witnessing unprecedented political and social upheaval in this country, specifically a Marxist cultural revolution, popularly referred to as cultural Marxism. To many people who have not been directly affected by it yet, these terms seem extreme, even far-fetched. But as time goes on, we will all be experiencing the direct effects of this cultural, social, and political revolution. With the election, legitimate or otherwise, of the now radical leftist Joseph R. Biden Jr., also known as Good Old Joe, and the hard shift to the left of the Democratic Party, thanks to people like the billionaire globalist and communist supporter George Soros, Bill and Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama, Americans are beginning to experience firsthand what it's like to move toward totalitarianism and communism, communism being the most extreme form of socialism. For example, I just heard that the Biden administration is pushing legislation that would require anyone with assets valued at $1 million or more to pay a so-called death tax of 40% of those assets. Now, this would probably require the sale of property that you own and so forth in order to make that massive tax – pay that massive tax bill. And this, of course, is just the beginning as far as the taxation of the citizenry goes as we march onward toward that totalitarianism. With Biden and the Democrats in charge, the left is moving rapidly to kill as much individual rights and liberties as possible – while at the same time imposing the most radical and totalitarian control over Americans as possible. Another example of this is the legislation currently working its way through Congress known as H.R. 1 and S.1. These are being the House and the Senate versions of essentially the same bill, which would essentially federalize control of our elections, doing away with such crucial fraud protections as voter ID, thus ensuring leftist candidates are given powerful advantages over other candidates in all our elections. In other words, this is a scheme, a plot, a conspiracy to take over and all but totally control the outcomes of our elections. If you've been listening to this program, you know we talk frequently about election fraud and the mountain of evidence that the 2020 election was stolen from Donald Trump. Passage of this legislation would be a clear violation of the U.S. Constitution, which vests power to run elections with the same with the state legislatures. But with much of our judiciary compromised in one way or another, so that our judges and justices can be relied on to support leftist causes and policies, what difference does it make if H.R. 1 and S.1 are unconstitutional? The U.S. Supreme Court, I believe, would likely decline to consider challenges to these bills, and lower courts would rule, incredibly as it appears, that the legislation is constitutional, just as they ruled before and after the 2020 election that doing away with voter ID requirements or slackening them radically and other changes which promoted fraud were okay. A number of prominent conservative political and other commentators are coming out with books about this frightening cultural Marxism revolution. One with a new book just out titled The Enemy Within, How a Totalitarian Movement is Destroying America, is David Horowitz. He's the founder of the Freedom Center and the website frontpagemag.com. The son of communists and a former communist himself, who was once one of the darlings of what he refers to as the communist left in America, David Horowitz had a change of heart about leftism and has revealed many secrets about the thinking, actions, and goals of the political left in America in his prolific writing career. The author of many books and articles on the left, Horowitz, one of the great writers and thinkers of our time, knows only too well the great danger we in America and other countries are facing today. I've just received my copy of The Enemy Within and have begun reading it. The book's cover jacket sums up this danger Americans are facing. The jacket text states, quote, "A questionable election. The President of the United States illegally impeached twice and silenced. The First Amendment hanging by a thread. The national heritage under attack. Mob violence. America is on the brink of becoming a one-party dictatorship. How did this happen? The Enemy Within, How a Totalitarian Movement is Destroying America, provides the answer. David Horowitz has been the bête noire, that's French for black beast, of the left for decades on account of his courageous revelations of their aims and tactics. And now he sounds the alarm. The barbarians are already inside the gates. Horowitz lays out how we have ended up in the worst national crisis since the Civil War. He details the left's embrace of critical race theory and cultural Marxism, the underpinnings of their totalitarian ideology. The decades-long infiltration of our education system by ideologies hostile to America, our institutions, and our freedom. Why the Obama administration marked a point of no return in the division of America into two irreconcilable political factions. The Democrats' unprincipled campaign to destroy a duly elected U.S. president. Their political exploitation of the coronavirus pandemic. Their complicity in the riots of the summer of 2020, which left 25 dead, injured 2,000 police officers, caused billions of dollars in property damage, and revealed the fragility of our civic order." End quote. Another conservative titan who has a new book titled American Marxism, coming out next month, is radio and television host Mark Levin. Here are some excerpts from Levin's commentary on his radio show June 14th, in which he discusses what Americans are facing today and what he intends to do about it. My soundbite begins with Levin relating from a moment's earlier interview with a prominent journalist chronicling the powerful forces on the left today, including many very wealthy, powerful people and corporations in America, that the head of the world's largest hedge fund is among those powerful leftists. I believe he is referring to the $9 billion BlackRock Incorporated, which, as I understand it, manages investments from many pension and other retirement funds. Please play soundbite one.
The hedge fund in the world, Charlie Gasparino just told us, $9 trillion is run by a leftist. You heard him right, Mr. Producer? Run by a leftist. You see, George Soros, multi-billionaire. What he does in terms of prosecutors and so forth with these billionaires who are trying to take down our country. We need to know their names. We need to know what they do. We need to put pressure on them. Excuse me. In other words, folks, what we're going to talk about is going on offense. Ideas I have and ideas you may have, but we're going to go on offense. It's one thing for me to get behind this microphone and discuss what they're doing to us and what they're doing to our country. I want to get behind this microphone and talk about what we're doing. And we have some real brave hearts out there. You've seen them in various school districts, parents and so forth. But as you see, this is a very daunting task. It's now cutting across the entire society and culture. First thing is information. First thing is knowledge. First thing is to counter the propaganda they're giving our kids. I'm getting away, but you understand the point. And that certainly is one of the major reasons for American Marxism. If you're sending your kid off to college this year, first year, second year, third or fourth, whatever it is, I would encourage you to have that kid read the book strongly. And then if we make this book a household name, I will come under attack. I got it. I'll deal with it. Then so be it. So be it. Let them argue about what's in the book. Let them argue what's on our terms. Let them go on defense. That's the way I see it. Now, just to show you what a disaster Joe Biden is, first of all, the press is not going to criticize Joe Biden, no matter what, under any circumstances. So they're going to let him ride through this presidency, ride quietly through his presidency, if not celebrate it, no matter what. No matter what. The international organizations think Joe Biden walks on water. The European heads of government love Joe Biden. In other words, when he says America's back, as Joe Biden likes to say in his stupid usual way, he doesn't mean America's back. He means America selling out is back. Because Donald Trump had America first. And by the way, America first didn't mean we wouldn't have alliances and strong alliances. It didn't mean we wouldn't work with international institutions. It meant we wouldn't surrender to them, that they weren't our number one priority, that the process wasn't the number one priority. What's in the best interest of America? America is the number one priority, but not for Joe Biden, not for the Democrats, not for the media. And by the way, happy 75th birthday, Mr. President, President Donald Trump. Happy 75th birthday. We miss you badly. But here's a perfect example. So far, he's undone almost all of the sanctions President Trump put in place against Putin. The biggest one is the pipeline. So now Russia will have billions and billions of dollars coming in from Germany to fund its war machine and to prop up its government. Joe Biden did that in one act. One act. Joe Biden is selling us out to the communist Chinese. How? While they're massively increasing their military and military spending, he's flatlining our military. Incredible. Joe Biden has sold out to the Mexican drug cartels and the kidnappers by opening our borders the way that he has. And you go down the list. And Joe Biden is selling out to the Islamo-Nazi regime in Tehran. Right here, Wall Street Journal. U.S. lifts sanctions on more than a dozen former Iranian officials and energy firms. So he's giving in to all these demands from the Islamo-Nazi regime, by the way, which is sending its navy into the Atlantic Ocean off of our East Coast now, without any confrontation at all. Now, we have some meatheads who think Putin's all swell and good and that Iran doesn't mean trouble. We're instigating with Iran. Ignore the meatheads. Enemies are enemies. Reagan was right. Peace through strength. But here we have Biden selling out to the Iranians. Biden selling out to Putin while he talks tough. He means nothing. Biden selling out to China by not sufficiently funding the United States military. It's awful. Lifting sanctions on more than a dozen former Iranian officials and energy firms. And what have we gotten in exchange? Nothing. Death to America. That's what we always get in exchange. Death to America. You know, I have clip after clip here, and I don't want to depress you, of Nancy Pelosi thanking Ilhan Omar for clarifying her statement when she equated the United States to Hamas and the Taliban. She wants to thank them. We have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who's a nobody, absolute stupid nobody, saying that right-wing media took Ilhan Omar's comments out of context. Hey, birthing person, why don't you come on my program and debate this? Would you reach out to the birthing person again, Mr. Producer? Yes. Then we have somebody called Mehdi Hassan, a host on MSNBC. Ilhan Omar didn't equate Hamas in Israel, enumerates America's war crimes. This is what we're getting now. And, of course, Comcast owns MSNBC and NBC. These corporatists don't give a damn about this country. They could care less. Then we have this idiot who lives in a massive mansion in Purchase, New York. How do I know? Because she's in magazines. Sunny Hostin on The View today. Poor Representative Omar, quite height of hypocrisy for Republicans to try and censure a woman of color. Why? Are we not allowed to censure a woman of color? Why? Well, you can't do that. Well, I want to do that. What's the problem? Anyway, the insanity that goes on television. Insanity. MSNBC, CNN. You can see this View program. Does the View have ratings, Mr. Verdu? Who the hell's watching this show? I mean, you have to be really low IQ and mentally unstable to watch these low IQ, mentally unstable hosts, I think.
Levin refers to these far-left television hosts, and there seems to be an endless number of them on the communist-leaning networks of the supposedly mainstream news media, as low IQ. But I'm convinced this is all intentional. These shows, ridiculously billed as news and political commentary shows, are part of what the late Rush Limbaugh referred to as loss leaders for their networks. In other words, their viewership ratings are overall poor, but their purpose is not to make money, but to brainwash the public with the leftist propaganda crap the network executives believe the public needs. And of course, the leftist elites of these networks and other entities in American society today, including many large corporations, want communism for you and me, not for themselves. So you're always seeing their outrageous hypocrisy when it comes to their own personal enrichment and freedoms, while they can constantly clamor for less and less personal wealth and freedoms for the masses. Hence, we have people like Bill and Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden and family having become fabulously wealthy while advocating wealth-killing socialism for the rest of America. Another example of this is the Marxist-Leninist-Maoist Black Lives Matter movement founder, Patrice Kahn Cullors, who has purchased millions of dollars worth of upscale homes, including a more than $1 million mansion in Los Angeles' exclusive and mostly white Topanga Canyon. Without the enormous financial support of the globalist oligarch business people, with their trillions of dollars worth of investments in communist China, the communists and their sympathizers here in America would not be anywhere nearly so powerful. These fool capitalists are, to paraphrase Vladimir Lenin, eager to hand the USA over to Red China. That's red as in communist, not red as in Republican electioneering, which they believe will continue to pay them handsomely while they retain their freedom and wealth. People like the leftist billionaire George Soros, whose puppet Joe Biden promotes Soros's open borders madness, has and has had massive financial interests in communist China and has called for China to lead the vaunted New World Order so many of the business and government elites in the West want, which is a socialist world government with them in charge, or so they believe they will be. Soros, largely through his Open Society Foundation's network of supposedly charitable organizations, provides massive financial support for just about every left-wing organization in the U.S., along with many of those organizations in other nations. Soros, according to President Trump's lawyer Rudy Giuliani, is the main funder of Antifa and Black Lives Matter communist organizations. What we badly need now is, as Mark Levin points out, to call out these absolute fool oligarch corporations and individuals for promoting communism and demand that they divest themselves of their corporation and their corporations of their wealth. Communism calls for the end of capitalism, or at least free market capitalism, private property, the end of private property, and inheritance of wealth, the end of inheritance of wealth. So why should these outrageous hypocrites be allowed to keep any of their wealth? What's needed now is a seize their wealth movement. While we're on the subject of the Marxist Cultural Revolution, let's hear from conservative firebrand commentator Liz Wheeler on her YouTube channel about critical race theory. This is from a segment of her program Jude 18 titled Six Questions Unpacking the Reality of Critical Race Theory. Play soundbite 2, please.
I want to pose to you or share with you six questions to ask about critical race theory to your school board members, to teachers teaching this, to politicians, to pundits, to any adherent or defender of critical race theory. Here are six questions to ask to really unpack the reality of what critical race theory is. Because what the left does right now is they're trying to deflect. They're trying to camouflage critical race theory. They're trying to misdirect you. They're trying to make you think it's something else, that it's just a perspective on history, an academic study, something that's taught in law schools, as McAuliffe said, a conspiracy theory. We know that's false. And these questions will expose the reality of what critical race theory is. So question number one, can you define critical race theory? What is it? This question in and of itself trips up adherence to critical race theory, because to define it, you have to either acknowledge that it's racist, or you have to acknowledge that it's Marxist, or your third option is that you're lying about what it is. So can you define critical race theory? What is it specifically? Question number two, these build on each other, by the way. Question number two, do you think it's racist to judge someone based solely on the color of their skin? Remember, that's what critical race theory does. It views everything and everybody through the prism of skin color first. So therefore, if it's racist to judge someone based solely on the color of their skin, which it is, isn't critical race theory racist? This is a critical question because it leaves leftists in a lose-lose. Either they're admitting they're racist or they're lying about critical race theory. And they don't want to admit either. Again, these questions build on each other. Question number three. Who was the architect of critical theory? Critical theory being the grandfather of critical race theory. It goes critical theory, and then it evolved into critical legal studies, and then it evolved into critical race theory. Who was the architect of critical theory? The answer to this is Max Horkheimer at the Frankfurt Institute in Germany in the 1930s. He was the second director of that school. He wrote the manifesto on critical theory. It then evolved further. It was taken a step further by Antonio Gramsci, who was the head of the Italian Communist Party. And then it was brought to the United States and evolved into critical race theory by Herbert Marcuse, who was Max Horkheimer's assistant, who Horkheimer left in the United States after Horkheimer and his cronies came here to escape the Nazis. They went back to Germany after the fall of the Nazi regime. Marcuse stayed here at Columbia University. So ask leftists, who was the architect of critical race theory, the grandfather of critical theory, and how did it come to the United States? If they don't know the answer to this, their choice is either they lie about it, or if they're ignorant, ask them, how can you talk about something when you know nothing about it? Okay, number four. Again, each one builds on the last one. Question number four, what is the goal of critical theory and critical race theory? The ultimate goal. It's not equality under the law. It's not a new perspective on history. The goal of critical theory, as written by the authors, is Marxism. Marxism by way of tearing down the social institutions and beliefs adhered to, and I'm using the language of the founders here, adhered to by the so-called oppressed. Because the belief of the architects of critical theory believed that the workers did not stage a revolution against the elite because of the social institutions and the social beliefs that they adhered to. Those beliefs were an impediment to the revolution. So the goal of critical theory and critical race theory is Marxism by way of tearing down the institutions adhered to by the oppressed that prevent them from revolting. Okay. Number five, question number five. Can you describe the difference between equality and equity? This is very important because you hear this all the time from social justice warriors calling for equity. The word in and of itself is very similar to equality, so it's easy to let that sleight of hand miss your consciousness. It's extremely important to define the difference. Define equality, define equity. The essence of equality versus equity is equality is equal opportunity, equity is equal outcome. Equal outcome requires discrimination against someone. Someone has to be held back so that the result of everybody's activity and everybody's life is equal. So somebody is going to be the subject of discrimination based on an immutable characteristic. This is a very important distinction in these definitions because critical theory and critical race theory and the adherents of critical race theory constantly talk about equity versus equality. They want equity. They're done with equality. Make them define it. Finally, question number six. Do you believe America is fundamentally good or evil? They won't be able to answer this question because you and I would most likely say, well, America is fundamentally good with flaws. We've applied our fundamental principles imperfectly, but good with flaws. I don't believe the other side believes this. Adherents of critical race theory believe that America and everything on which she was founded, a free market system, freedom and liberty and justice for the individual, equality under the law, they believe that that is evil. They believe that the institutions in our nation are evil and therefore our country in general is illegitimate. So ask, do you believe America is fundamentally good or evil, and why? If you ask these questions, this is how to dialogue with someone who is an adherent to critical race theory. This is how to really get down to the heart of the matter. What is critical race theory? Because right now, the left is scared. The left is on defense. The left is trying to camouflage what this evil Marxist ideology that they have put in public schools. They've infiltrated our public school system. They're now brainwashing our children. They're trying to hide what they're doing and pretend that what they're teaching isn't what they're teaching, which means they know that it's unpopular and people will reject it.
The left is always about lies, trickery, hate. Communism is about mass murder, slavery, and terror. Bet you can't wait until we become communists. But don't worry. You'll be able to keep your wealth, your property, leave wealth to your heirs, and keep your freedom. Don't you think? Moving on to other topics, let's go over some of what's been happening on the election fraud front and the battles to reestablish election integrity. The Arizona election audit is about to be finished this week, though complete results are not expected to be reported until August, I saw today on the television. There was a rumor going around on alternative media that the audit has revealed that hundreds of thousands of ballots are missing in Arizona. If true, and we'll have to wait and see, this would explain the reports of ballot shredding and burnings taking place in Arizona and other critical election states by unidentified people with access to those ballots. And of course, these missing ballots would likely include the suspect ones reported by observers on and around Election Day last year to have the appearance of having been copied or otherwise mass-produced, which contained only votes for Joe Biden. I understand that Dominion Voting Systems, whose voting machines were used in the November 3 election in Arizona and many other states, is refusing to hand over the routers to those machines, which election fraud warrior Patrick Byrne has said would or should reveal what was done, if anything, to votes cast with those machines. If we had such a free and fair election, why would Dominion or anyone else refuse to hand over these routers? If I'm wrong about this or not providing the full story, please correct me. If and when I come across more on this, I'll pass it on to you. If you've been following the allegations and evidence of election fraud, you are undoubtedly aware of the election of another election fraud warrior, Mike Lindell, and his powerful videos, which are alleging that he and his team now have irrefutable proof that communist China hijacked voting machines across the USA. Rather, I should say they hacked voting machines across the USA and around election, on and around Election Day, and flipped enough votes from Trump to Biden to hand Biden the presidency. It's Lindell's belief our courts will have to agree with him when shown the evidence Lindell has. But I'm terrified our judiciary is so badly compromised by money, extortion, or other means by communist China and its many powerful allies among the U.S. corporate elites that our courts will side with China and these oligarchs, not with Lindell. Another allegation of election fraud, November 3, has been made by Maria Zach of the organization Nations in Action, whose website is nationsinaction.org. And that is that military satellites jointly owned by the Italian government and Italian aerospace and cybersecurity firm Leonardo S.P.A. were used to facilitate the vote switching electronically from Trump to Biden, or at least a lot of it. You can see what evidence Zach is presenting about this on her website, italy-did-it.com. Zach claims to have contacts inside the Italian government and the intelligence communities and has reported that the U.S. State Department and CIA, along with British MI6, were involved in this vote-switching operation. Zach has also said the new center-right Italian government, which took power after the U.S. election last year, is investigating this. She has also related that a source or sources she has predicted Joe Biden would be stepping down from the U.S. presidency this month. That has not happened. So I thought it would be useful to get Zach's take on the status of the Italian investigation and the failure of her prediction Biden would step down. Here's some audio from an interview with Zach by Doug Billings on his The Right Side radio program, June 14. If you haven't been following all this on Zach's websites, You may be confused by the people she mentions, but it makes much better sense if you've gone over the evidence she presents on italy-did-it.com. In this interview, Zach relates that her requests to the U.S. government to investigate these allegations – see, she trusted the powers that be inside the U.S. government, the federal government to investigate these allegations – resulted in anti-Trump elements within the U.S. government killing efforts to investigate. It's also unclear what happened to a gentleman named Arturo D'Elia, which Zach mentions at the beginning of this soundbite. D'Elia is reported to be an executive of Leonardo S.P.A. with firsthand knowledge of the alleged vote-flipping operation. He is supposedly being hidden as his life is in danger. The leftist mainstream media, by the way, including a recent article in the leftist icon The New York Times, claims Zach's allegations are fantastical nonsense. Please play soundbite three.
Questions in our investigation for him because we needed help getting Arturo D'Elia and his significant other and some other folks out of Italy quickly because their lives were in danger and we knew that they were willing to give evidence. And so what we were asking for was a plane and funding to give security teams details to those that were coming and their families. So we wanted to keep everyone safe. Our donors have done just that to date. We have not lost a single person of our team. It's been hairy and close calls, but I'm happy to say that to date, everyone is safe. Things are still moving. Are we disappointed that the operation got killed early on? It was very disappointing. I think, you know, it's sad that the at that time, the DOJ refused Mr. Meadows, Mark Meadows' calls to ask for an investigation. So starting after Christmas into the first week of January, Mark called and asked Jeffrey Rosen to please, you know, investigate. And they refused. And we had supplied information to another gentleman, and that gentleman was willing to go talk to the FBI, and the FBI refused. And so the frustration Mark must have felt and the president must have felt that there was a complete cover-up and coup in full speed happening to him. But it's great today knowing that Mark Meadows really stood up and made those calls. And now through the order from Senator Durbin, who is asking for all of the emails from Mark Meadows, he has now exposed those emails, and the New York Times was able to look at the emails and are now trying to debunk the story of the, as she says, the reporter Katie Benner says that included a fantastical theory that people in Italy had used military technologies and satellites to remotely tamper with voting machines in the United States and switch votes for Mr. Trump to votes for Mr. Joseph R. Biden Jr. Unbelievable that a journalist would blatantly fail to investigate and put out an actual lie. They never called me. They never investigated. Prove me wrong. I want Katie Benner to call me, meet with me, look at the evidence, understand the cause and effect of everything that happened. How would I know that they were going to take down Conte as prime minister 3 weeks in advance that Joe Biden called Matteo Renzi to do that? There were too many things when they arrested Arturo D'Elia and we kept him hidden. We knew he was on the run. We knew what was happening with the judge. We knew Alexander Nix's movements. Shame on her. She calls herself a journalist. That is not journalism. That is corruption.
Maria, it's been a fascinating conversation as usual. I got to tell you, when I post our interviews together on my social media platforms, whether it's Telegram or Twitter or Cloud Hub, Facebook, whatever, inevitably I'll get some messages from some people that will ask me, you know, well, look, Doug, I follow Mike Lindell, I follow Sidney Powell, I follow, you know, George Papadopoulos, General Flynn, whomever. And it seems as if, and you know, the question maybe, it seems as if that Maria Zach is the only person that really brings up Italy. I don't see the other people focusing on Italy, dealing with Italy in as much detail as Maria does. Is it possible that this information that Maria Zach is presenting is a red herring, that just to distract us from other things? And so while I know my answer to that question, and I firmly believe that you're not the red herring, I think that it's important that we greet and take on these questions head on and answer them and tell the folks the truth. So what, in response to that, what do you have to say?
I love it. Actually, Mike Lindell's been one of our heroes. We actually call him Saint Mike around here at Nations in Action, because he actually did help us tremendously. And I don't talk a lot about what my conversations are with other people in their investigations. Everyone needs to remember the investigations were very segmented. There were a lot of people doing investigations into Georgia. Then there was a team that was doing Arizona, a team doing New Mexico, a team doing Wisconsin and Michigan. So all those teams were very busy, and they were all trying to look at Dominion, and CITL, and the pinging off of satellites. Nobody had the pieces of who did it, where they did it, when they did it, how they did it. So that investigation's been Nations in Action's and only ours. And we did keep them very much informed. They have tweeted out, General Flynn and Sydney, and I know Mike Lindell have all tweeted in the past about Italy. And obviously now from this New York Times article, we're vindicated that it proves that we had many conversations with the White House. So we've been begging for help, and it's through the great work of our donors that we're here today and as far along as we are, because this investigation, no one would have heard about Italy if it weren't for our donors. And they are the real heroes in this story, because we've been able to keep going, and it's on a wing and a prayer, and God's got us. But it's been our donors that every step of the way, we have tried to be as deep dive research, get the information, get out there, get it back out, work with Mr. Trump and folks who support him and folks who might have other pieces. And we continue to get more pieces because of that. And building our research teams and our volunteers is critical to help us get over the finish line. And we will.
Absolutely. Right. Mm-hmm. And this reminds us all that this is a very complex issue, Maria. This is not easy. This is there are a lot of dots and lines to cross and match and find information behind and line up everything, get a timeline established, know the characters involved. And so I would, you know, to echo you to a degree, I would just encourage the audience, ladies and gentlemen, head over to nationsinaction.org and support Maria and her organization. You know, they need help. They need financial help and donations, and nationsinaction.org is where you should go to help her in these endeavors. It's crucial to the Republic, and a lot of patriots around the country, around the world for that matter, often send messages of, you know, how do I help? What can I do? Well, this is one way. Support nationsinaction.org by going there and consider a financial donation. Maria, what about, you know, as we look at some of the news and some of the intelligence that you've received and that we've discussed in the past, Joe Biden being removed or stepping down in June. So we're in June. Is there any truth? Does any of that look like it's coming true with regards to Biden?
They know we know. And from what I'm being told, the Italian government has stepped up the number of investigations that they have. I'm very excited about that. Investigations don't happen super quick, unfortunately, but I am told that very significant information has been discovered and that they are moving forward. So whether or not Mr. Biden goes willingly or not, and a lot of people ask, well, what do we do? And you're starting to hear stories, and especially in light of this New York Times article, well, there's no redress. There's no pathway for Trump to get put back in. Well, there are pathways. And first and foremost, this fraudulent activity, immediately people should be arrested, and Mr. Biden and Kamala Harris should vacate immediately. If they don't, to me, they've already cross the threshold of treason, but they should absolutely be removed. And when Mike Lindell was asked about Neymar and the coup, and he goes, yeah, that could happen here. You know, at some point you have to ask the question, what do you do when you see your country being stolen and you know for a fact it happened? And let me go back to the fact part of this. From day one with you, Doug, I have said to everyone, prove us wrong.
Right.
I want the New York Times to prove us wrong. Show where I have not given a fact correctly. Nobody has done it to date. Nobody from USA Today contacted me. Al Neuwirth, who founded it, is rolling in his grave. He was a brilliant man with a brilliant vision that they tarnished. And same with other publications. There weren't many that actually debunked it. So they just quote the other paper that debunked it. Well, go do your job for your publication, because you just denounced your own New York Times as no longer being a credible source of information. So I think it's important for everyone to understand, if we made a mistake at Nations in Action, we're happy to say, hey, we got this data point wrong. It's possible. We're dealing with language translation issues, et cetera. So I think we had to correct one statement so far out of the 6 months and vast amount of evidence that we have shared. So I'm very proud of the team and for everything that they do, because we've been working endless hours to make this come to fruition, and we're not stopping until it's well out known and investigated and people go to jail.
Those of us who believe the election was stolen certainly do hope that, as Zach states, these investigations of alleged election fraud will eventually come to fruition and the people responsible for stealing the election will go to jail. Now let's hear audio from Steve Bannon's War Room radio program. It's an interview with former New York City Police Commissioner Bernard Carrick on June 7. Carrick has been involved in the election integrity battle. In this soundbite, Carrick is mentioning Vernon Jones, who is a prominent Georgia State Democrat who's sided with conservatives in alleging and working to expose election fraud. Jones gave a powerful speech at the Republican National Convention, I believe, last year, and is a rising star among conservatives. Play soundbite 4, please.
You've got a number of investigations in Georgia, and one primary in Fulton County, Steve, that I predict over the next 3 or 4 weeks is going to be explosive. And I think it's going to basically come back and vindicate everything that the president and Rudy Giuliani and I have been saying for the last 6 months. The election was stolen. Basically, the Republican legislators didn't do their job. They allowed the certification of the votes. And as I was saying earlier, the Secretary of State for Georgia, he allowed that certification. He had 174 missing batches in the Fulton County count. 174. That's 17,400 ballots that were missing, and they knew about it. There's no way they didn't know. They had to know. That would have put Donald Trump over the edge to win Georgia. Just that alone. But there's a lot more coming. And it's going to come out through these investigations. There's subpoenas being issued. There's depositions being taken. I think you're going to see some explosive material in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And then you're going to see Vernon Jones go down to Arizona. He should be leaving. I think he's going to go down on Wednesday. He's going to visit with the people in Arizona, you know, Mark Fincham and Sonny Borelli and the people from the Senate there, find out what they're doing. And he's pushing for every county in the state of Georgia to have a forensic audit. He's also going to be going down to the border, Steve, which I don't think anybody knows yet, but we're pushing him to get down to the border to look at what's going on there. As you know, Atlanta and Georgia is having a major, major crime surge. A lot of that is coming from illegals. People on the border, they're telling Vernon Jones that they're busing these people into Georgia. This is bad for Georgia. It's bad for Atlanta. You have Buckhead, one of the principal cities, the principal communities in all of Georgia, trying to sever itself away from Atlanta. A lot going on, and Vernon Jones is going to get to the bottom of it. And I think the people of Georgia know it's time for change, and I think Vernon Jones is the guy that's going to do that.
Well, we keep hearing that big things are coming soon on the election fraud front. But to date, as you know, much of these matters remain under investigation or in the attempts at investigation stage. Nevertheless, we do have Mike Lindell's astounding claim of absolute and irrefutable proof that the election was hacked by Red China and stolen for Joe Biden, which to me would be tantamount to an act of war by Communist China and treason by those Americans who knowingly helped orchestrate it. Let's all stay tuned and provide whatever support we can to Lindell, who is also CEO of MyPillow.com, which has great products to help you sleep better, as well as all the other election fraud warriors out there working diligently to preserve the Republic and thwart this abominable Marxist cultural rot besieging our country and Western civilization. By all means, also take a look at Mike Lindell's new website, frankspeech.com. It has a lot of great news and information. That's it for another show. As always, we hope you found the content of value. If you missed all or part of today's program, it'll be posted as a podcast on bbsradio.com within a few days, and where you can find podcasts of our other shows. Have a great rest of your evening.